You ever meet somebody in a brand new relationship who was just so completely head over heels for their significant other that they thought they were perfect, could do no wrong, no flaws? Of course, on the one hand, you're happy for them, right? You're genuinely happy. But on the other hand, you have this thing in the back of your mind just going, you just wait. Because you know that even if this person ends up being perfect, the perfect match at least, even if this new couple spends decades together in love and care for one another, you know that it's also simply a fact of human existence that we are sinful. And sooner or later, somebody is going to cut and peel the cantaloupe wrong, and before it's over, somebody just might end up sleeping on the couch. But early in a relationship, people sort of tend to forget about all the hard stuff, the work that it takes to love each other over the long term. I think what we would say about this phase of a relationship where you aren't yet willing or maybe not even able to see somebody's faults and flaws, we'd say that you aren't really in love with them yet. Maybe you're just in love with the idea of them. And I have to tell you, if your relationship with Jesus is nothing but love and thanks and praise, well, you might be more in love with the idea of Jesus than the real Jesus. Because the real Jesus is hard to deal with. But you should know that by now, right? You just heard me read that gospel lesson from the 12th chapter of Luke that no one would ever choose to stand up and preach from, I don't think. But here it is in our lectionary. And basically what we heard is a reality check, a wake-up call from Jesus for all the folks who were really into the idea of Jesus more than the real Jesus. Had to be a lot of people who felt that way, right? Wow! Have you heard of this Jesus guy? I mean, he does all sorts of cool things. He can heal people from anything just like that. I heard he calmed a storm the other day just so he could finish his nap. That's nothing. My cousin told me he raised a man from the dead. Well, what are we doing, right? He's just in the next town over. Let's go see him. And the best part is I heard he feeds the crowd wherever he is so we can get a free lunch out of this too, right? But Jesus does some correcting to people who might love the idea of Jesus. I came to bring fire to the earth, he says, and how I wish it were already kindled. Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad that there's so much love for Jesus out there. Jesus is the one who reconciles us to God. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Jesus is the reason we have eternal life. So there's plenty to love there. There really is. But if we love all those things and ignore the rest of his ministry, well, then we don't really love Jesus, I'm afraid. We just love the idea of our own tails being saved. What Jesus is doing in this section of Luke is telling the crowds and us that being a follower of Jesus isn't just about smiling and singing and believing Jesus has got this. It's also got to be about all the stuff Jesus has been talking about up to this point. Like in Luke chapter 6, where he says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. If somebody takes your coat, you know what? Give them your shirt too." Or in chapter 10, when Jesus tells this whole parable of the Good Samaritan that goes along with the 30 or so other times in Scripture where there's a call or a command to care for the stranger, the neighbor, and the foreigner. Or, just before today's reading, Jesus has just, like literally just gotten done saying that we should all sell our possessions and give to the poor. This is the real Jesus. Yeah, he'll save you. But it's not just so you can sing your kumbaya and feel good about things. It's more than that. Jesus isn't interested in a false peace where people act nice, but where the tremendous brokenness of sin continues to fester. What Jesus comes to do is nothing less than bring in the kingdom of God. And yeah, there will be peace in the kingdom of God, but it's only because in that kingdom sin is no longer present. It's because sin has been judged unworthy of God's kingdom. And creating that kingdom, bringing it in, involves judging our sin. Our sin that wants to strike back at somebody who hurts us is not worthy of God's kingdom. Our sin that stockpiles resources while others go hungry, it's not worthy of God's kingdom. Our sin that fails to care for our neighbor, it's not worthy of God's kingdom. So Jesus comes to bring fire to the earth, the judgment of the kingdom that burns away the impurities of our sin. It only takes a spark, we sing, to get a fire going. And the spread of God's kingdom is like that fire. And this is a good thing. It's needed. Heavens, in this world, it is needed. But it's not necessarily pleasant. It is good, for sure. But it's difficult. And like with many unpleasant or difficult things, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody will like us either if we are on board with Jesus and the work of the kingdom. Because divisions will be exposed. Not because Jesus wants us to be divided, but because Jesus brings a radically different kingdom, and some people won't like it. If you're doing pretty well in this worldly kingdom, a new kingdom is a threat. And the reign of Jesus was such a threat that they killed Jesus for it. So what Jesus calls us to, the way we are called to live, it will bring division, even among families. But the division is a byproduct, a birthing pain, as that new kingdom is delivered. Make no mistake, what Jesus is about is bringing in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is wonderful, beyond our wildest dreams. But the reason it's wonderful is because sin is not welcome there. And not just their sin, right? Not just the sins of those people, but your sin and mine. They are not welcome in God's kingdom. Can't you see it? The glory of the way God intended life to be, where Jesus, the resurrected Lord, reigns over the kingdom in which death has no place, where mourning and crying and pain are no more. This is the kingdom of God, and it's coming. Can't you see it? Jesus asked the crowd. You who can observe the weather and predict when you ought to plant your tomatoes. You, who can watch your children jump up and down and tell that they have to go to the bathroom. You, who can predict the way that ninth inning of the ball game is going to go. Can't you see this? Jesus says. The kingdom of God is drawing near. Jesus is the one bringing it. And you are called to be part of that kingdom now. By turning from your sin and living in the ways of the kingdom that look like the ministry of Jesus, caring for the poor, loving enemies, looking after neighbor, turning the other cheek. And when you do, best buckle up. The life of the kingdom is life-giving good news, but it may be a bumpy ride. Amen.